Your congregation, let us now turn in God's holy word to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 6 through 13. Very familiar passage in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer. Before we read the word, let us ask the Lord to open this word to us. Dear Almighty, merciful Heavenly Father, we confess that without Your Spirit, this word would be closed to us. We take that for granted, but there are many in the world who do not even pick up the word. Even though it's around and available, they don't read it, they don't understand it, they don't receive it. But let us not have that be our lot here. We deserve that, but we ask in Thy forgiveness that You would show us what this word means, how to receive it by faith, and how to practice it by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Let's start at verse 6, actually. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then we'll add the part that we're familiar with as well. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. The throne of grace. The throne of grace. It's a real throne. Jesus Christ descended in His body from this earth, from the Mount of Olives, into the heavens. And He indeed is seated on a throne, the throne of the Lamb. He is the Prince. He is the Priest. He is the Prophet who has shown us this prayer. Think about that. What if you were to go to that throne? What if you could see it right now? You would fall down on your face in fear. You would wonder in awe. You'd be speechless. And you'd wonder, what do I dare say? What do I dare say? What do I dare pray? It's a real throne. You can't see it right now, but Jesus Christ is really there. Now, God is everywhere, and yet there's a special throne for His Son. Well, we're going to learn how to approach that throne here this morning. We're going to discover how to warm our hearts to the things of God through real prayer. In Matthew 6, 9 through 13, Jesus takes His disciples up on the mountain. He teaches them many things. He says to them, in this manner pray. Indeed, He teaches us how to pray. Let us learn the outline of this prayer. how to pray. First, how to pray as a child. Second, how to pray as a beggar. And third, how to pray as a singer of God's praises. Yes, with these things in mind, let us learn how to pray. Well, first, let's learn how to pray as a child of our adopting Father. We say, our Father. For God is an adopting Father. He takes us as His own children. We don't deserve this. We don't deserve this. We're conceived and born in sin. By birth, by natural birth, we are fallen children of Adam. Children of the devil. Yes, dear saints, God treats us as His children, not by our nature according to this creation, but by grace alone. Now, we Reformed people, we love that word grace, but we can take that for granted. Or we can wallow in our sin and think, well, of course I'm a sinner. But this prayer comes from God's children that though by nature they're sinners, God receives them as His children in grace. Not by earthly existence, but by heavenly adoption. Not by creation, but by redemption. Not by the law, but by the gospel. Not in Adam, but in the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Now, this prayer is the chief part of our thankfulness. You remember that. Everybody knows their Heidelberg Catechism, I'm sure. Prayer is the chief part of thankfulness. It's the beginning of how to say thank you to God for delivering us. That we have the only comfort in life and death. That we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood has fully satisfied for all of our sins and delivered us from all the power of the devil. So we say thank you as His children in grace. Now, unbelievers can't pray like this. Sanctified prayers only come from a justified people. And God's people are justified. They are judged to be righteous before God's holy throne of justice. And so we are being sanctified, being made more and more holy to reflect our Father who is in heaven. So we can pray with the cry, Abba, Father. And we can pray as a child. Now, praying can be hard. Real prayer, praying at the dinner table, like we always do, that's not hard. But real prayer is hard to do. Vain repetitions, they're easy. So we have a lot of barriers to prayer, walls that keep us from praying with the heart of a child. We have busy schedules. We have different priorities throughout the day. We have coldness of heart. I know I do. We have our little smartphones, right? That can keep us from prayer too. Well, how can we get through this? How can we reset our priorities? How can we warm our hearts to prayer? Remember God's adopting love. Remember God's adopting grace, God's adoption of you who believe on His only begotten Son, and break the barriers to prayer so we can go through those barriers every day. Go to our Father, not somebody else's Father. My friends, remember Stephen? Stephen saw heaven opened and he saw what we don't see right now. He saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father. He could pray. Seeing it as a reality. I think that's one of the keys to knowing we have a real Father is get familiar with the things in the Bible that show you the reality that Stephen saw. Oh, Revelation 4 and 5. There's a throne. Ezekiel 40 through 48. There's a throne. There's the throne of the Lamb. And that's a real Lamb, Jesus Christ. It's not imaginary. Not an imaginary Savior. If we have that before our eyes, we can break through the barriers to prayer. Yes, the just shall live by faith, and the just shall pray by faith as well. That's what the word "our Father," "our," really means when it comes to prayer. Now, if any is an unbeliever, we need to lay hold of the Son for salvation. We need to experience what it means to cry out to God as our Father in prayer. We who believe in Jesus have every reason to pray, but the unbeliever, doesn't have a mediator that he's received. But we who have received Jesus, we have every right to call upon the Heavenly Father. We have every right for Him to hear us in secret, and He would reward us in the open, so we can pray as children of our adopting Father. We can also pray as children of our Almighty Father. We have an Almighty Father. He is in the heavens. Now, this does not mean, and what I've said about the throne in heaven, does not mean that God is limited to one place. He's not. The triune God, Jesus as He is God, is not confined to one place. He is present in the fullness of His being everywhere. Now, it does not mean He's everything. It does not mean that He is what He has made. But it means He's not limited, circumscribed in a place somewhere in the heavens. For God fills the heavens and the earth, and He made all things, and He is present with all things. So what does that mean in heaven? It means God's majesty is high above the heavens. He is holy. His glory sets Himself apart from everything He has made, and He dwells in light which no man can approach. He is all-powerful, He is all-knowing, He is all-sovereign. And this is how He is able to answer our prayers. Are you facing a situation that seems impossible? Maybe you are. Well, dear believers, with God, all things are possible. And He has the power to hear your cry. He has the power to help you in the time of your need. For the throne of grace is the throne of God, who has all glory in the heavens. Therefore, let us pray from the heart. Now, even the best of us can go through the motions. We can so often say words over and over like a computer program on auto-repeat. I know I've done that. I think we all have. Well, let's avoid such empty prayers. Let's turn from empty repetitions. Our God is almighty. Our Father is the living and true God. Therefore, we can make living and true prayers. We can call upon the One who is able to come to our rescue. We can pray as children of our Almighty Father. He has the power to bear the burden of your every weight that you bring to Him in prayer. Well, now we get to the main core of the prayer. Jesus teaches us how to pray as a beggar. You know, that was Calvin's illustration. It's not mine. It's Calvin's illustration. We pray as beggars. We don't pray out of a boastfulness of heart. We pray as beggars, empty, needy. We make petitions. God wants us to go to Him for all things that we need for soul and for body. So there are six petitions, six things we are to ask for. Three of them regard our Father. Three of them regard we His children. Regard us, His children. Well, the first three requests concern our Father, His name, His kingdom, and His will. So we beg, hallowed be Your name. For God's name is holy, it is to be recognized as such. It is to be set apart from common use. It is to be set apart for special use. Yes, we need to recognize that we were made for a great purpose. We were made to honor God's name. That's why God created us. That's why God saved us, that we would honor His name. And we need to pray for His name to be honored, His reputation to be held in high regard everywhere. Now, if you're like me, this petition reminds you of times that we've taken the name of the Lord in vain. It reminds us of the times at work we've heard people do the same, we've never said anything. It reminds us of when we have gone to church or even preached the word as a matter of habit or custom, vainly. And it reminds us of how the whole world is full of horrible and damnable blasphemies, and our best praise of God is stained with the worst sins. We need to pray then that God would set apart His name from all common use and for all special use to purify our tongues and our lips, to work within us so that His name is sanctified by us. We need to confess that we have used His name in vain, that even our best worship of Him is dirty with sin. You remember that in the Heidelberg Catechism? Even our best works are stained with sin. So let us then trust that for the sake of the merits of Jesus, our filthy tongues are forgiven. And we would ask God to destroy the blasphemies that are in our souls that we don't dare even say to anybody, but nonetheless are part of our corrupt nature that still dwells within us. That God would destroy that old nature and fill our hearts and mouths with the right use of His righteous name, to make His name to be held in holy, as holy in all the universe. Yes, hallowed be God's name. Well, second petition is to beg as a beggar for God's reign. We beg for our Father's kingdom to arrive, for His Son, the King of creation, is the promised King of Israel. Yes, believers, Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, is our Prince of Peace. He is King for us. He died as King on the cross, wearing a crown of thorns. He's our substitute. You know, think about that. The King that you approach in the heavens is the King that wore the crown of thorns for you, dear believer. Think about that. It's too much to take in. Now, He rose as King over death for our justification and our everlasting life, and He rose into the heavens to intercede for us, to beg God that we would be received by Him. We can go to that throne of grace. We can pray as citizens of God's kingdom. We can pray for the ascended Christ to send His kingdom of grace and to gather all His elect. Now think about our nation. How many How many real Christians are here? Then pray. Pray for the means of grace to bring many souls to Christ. Pray for the preaching of the word to go forth in power. Pray for the saints to be knit together in love and holiness in their congregations. And pray for true churches to fill our land. Yes, pray for believers to grow in number and in spiritual maturity. And we also pray for the kingdom to come in glory. This world is not all there is. Dear congregation, when we have a troubled week, we've all been kind of worried this week, I think. Well, it's a reminder that this world isn't all there is. It's not all there ever will be. This is not our home. This is not our place of our heavenly citizenship. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and we should be looking for that fullness, that final glory of Jesus Christ to come. Give us hope. There's no condemnation to those of us in Christ Jesus. You know, that day when Christ will return is the day of the Jubilee. It's the day of the release of the captives from the bonds of death. Our bodies are bound to death until that great day of resurrection when we are brought up from the grave. There's a day coming. And we want to pray for that day. Kingdom come. Well, we pray third for God's righteousness. We beg for God's righteousness to fill the earth. We pray, your will be done. What does that mean? Well, first there's God's will by which He has determined everything that will come to pass. Do we pray for that? Well, we add this into our prayers, right? We add, if it be your will. So yes, there is an element to that. We pray, if it be your will. Lord, if it be your will, let me get that job. If it be your will, let me have another day. If it be your will, let this person recover from their sickness. If it be your will. If it be your will. As Christ Himself prays, not what I will, but what you will. Now, second, and most of all, God's will that we pray is concerning His righteousness, His commands, what He wants us to do with our lives, especially as we are being renewed by the Holy Spirit. Yes, yes, if you believe on the Lord Jesus, you might not see a whole lot of sanctification, but if you're a real believer, God is working in your hearts. He is renewing you. And you want to pray for that renewal to grow and continue to advance. You want to see God's will done in your community. Well, start with yourself. Start with myself. Let's start locally before we think globally. We pray your will be done. So that means we pray that we learn God's law. We would love His law. We would delight in His law. We'd meditate upon it day and night. And we taste it as sweet as a honeycomb. The sting of death is removed for us. So that law, the sting, the bee sting of death from that honey is removed. So the law can be our honeycomb. And we meditate on it day and night. That as God's kingdom comes in grace, that His will might be done in gratitude in our lives. Well, now the last three petitions or requests are concerning our own needs. First, God's glory. First, God's name, God's kingdom, God's will, and then our needs. God cares about our needs, our resources, our remission, and our renewal. First, we are to ask our Heavenly Father for our resources. We have daily needs, so we need to go to God for our daily bread. I'm sure you all know this, but we can take it for granted. Think about that. If you have money in the bank, you have money for your expenses, you had them last week, you can thank God. Thank you, Lord, for my daily bread. Because bread, it means all those things that God gives us for our earthly existence. It includes our food. Yes, it does. Our clothes. It includes the air we breathe, the water we drink. And we can take these things for granted because we've had them for so long. But we need to thank God for them. Remember that they might not be here tomorrow. But we ask God that they would be. We ask God that they would be. So if we're going through financial difficulties, we can say, Lord, give me this day my daily finances. Or if we're going through a period of sickness, we can say, give me, O Lord, my daily health. God cares about His children, both in body and soul. And we pray for enough each day, not for too much. Not for so much that we'd forget God. We pray we wouldn't have too little. Not so little that we'd be tempted to steal and dishonor God's name. And to remember that we aim for contentment, that's hard. But it is possible, remembering we pray for our daily bread and not more. Fifth, we pray for our remission of sins. We pray, forgive us our debts. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we say that without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the foundation of this. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors is first the forgiveness of God. We do not pray this as those who earn God's forgiveness. We don't earn God's forgiveness by forgiving those who have wronged us. Rather, Christ has earned our forgiveness and we receive that by faith alone. And God wants us to reflect that in our lives. He wants us to be a forgiving people. That's hard. That is really hard. People do bad things to us. They hurt us. They sin against us. And we can become very bitter and say, you know, I'm a forgiving person, but not with that family member or not with that friend or whoever. Maybe a stranger hurt me. And we say, I can't do it. My friends, you need to. That bitterness that's rooted down deep inside needs to come out. So pray that God would give you such an awareness of the forgiveness of your sins that you can let go of the wrong that your neighbor has done you. In that way, by forgiving, you show that you have been forgiven. Remember, Christ has died for your salvation, dear saints. Before you could ask Him, He shed His blood for you while you were yet a sinner. So we can pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Finally, the sixth petition says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We pray for our renewal. We pray for the power to overcome sin in our lives. Remember, when you feel like doing what is wrong, God does not tempt you. Your own sinful desires in your heart tempt you to draw you away. The devil tempts you. And yes, indeed, the world tempts you to do what is wrong. So you need to pray this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, or deliver us from evil. Martin Luther was talking with his wife, Katie, about a situation where somebody committed adultery in their community, and they heard about it, and they were very distraught by this. It was an upsetting thing for them. And Katie asked Martin, why do people do such things? And Luther said, "Ah, Katie, people don't pray." We need to pray that God would lead us not into temptation. And we need to pray that God would protect us from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, to kill the sin that dwells within us, to rebuke the devil from enticing us. Oh, children of God, we have our sins blamed upon Christ, and we have Christ's perfect righteousness credited to us. We have a great promise. God will inscribe His laws deeply within our hearts, and that's what this prayer is really all about. Lord, write this law in me, personally, day by day, to die to sin and to live to holiness day by day. And we all need that. You know, there are times we are weak in our faith and we get drawn away into sinful things. We see that again and again in the Old Testament, again and again in the New Testament. Saints who wander like Peter did, like Samson. We don't want to imitate their departure. We want to imitate their repentance. At school, at home, at work, on the internet, on the road, everywhere we are and go, let's pray to God. Do not give us over to the lusts of our hearts. Do not let the devil sift us like wheat. Do not let us enjoy the sinful delights of this world. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The evil one. Well, finally, and I know in this translation that it says at the bottom there is a reading of the passage that includes, "For yours is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever." And we need to remember that. That's a real part of this prayer. So we pray finally as a singer of God's praise. We sing, "All glory and honor belongs to you, dear Heavenly Father." We lift up our voices to lift up our God. We end the prayer singing a psalm of God's praise, "For our Father is great and greatly to be praised." Yes, let's sing God's praises. Let's shout for joy. Let's say, "Look at God. Look at how wonderful He is." And we praise Him in particulars. We praise Him for His kingdom. Singing His praises, we see that He alone is truly awesome and majestic, that He gives His kingdom to unworthy sinners for the sake of His worthy Son. A kingdom does not come from any authority of this earth. We can so often look to the earthly authorities for God's kingdom. We might not say that's our official doctrine, but we do hope. We do trust in princes and chariots when we should be trusting in the Lord our God. That's why we say, "For yours is the kingdom." And we look at God's power and we sing God's praises. We look at all that God can do. He alone has the power to create and direct all the heavens and the earth. Only God has the power to save us from our sins. We can praise Him. We can look at God's glory to sing His praises. Yes, God's glory alone is the goal of this prayer. It's the goal of our salvation. It's the purpose of our redemption. Why did God save you, dear saints? Why did God save you? That God might have all the glory. Sola Deo Gloria. So we can look at God's eternity forever. We'll sing His praises. He's the great I Am. He has no beginning. He has no end. Our Father is forever. Well, my friends, this is what we're to take home with us. And some, let's pray as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We say, "Amen." As the Heidelberg Catechism says, God is more willing and ready to hear and answer than we are willing and ready to ask. So let's pray by faith alone and not waver, not doubt. We have the good news of salvation. We have the announcement of God's glad tidings that He indeed justifies sinners. We have the only gospel. Let's then be moved to pray as the chief part of thankfulness. Yes, in this world is so full of sin, So full of devils, let's go to God with true trust and true prayer. Let's take up the Lord's Prayer. For our Lord Jesus Christ teaches His disciples how to pray, first as a child, second as a beggar, and third as a singer, and most of all, as a believer. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You would teach us all how to pray more. We can get so cold to prayer. I can. We all can. And help us to be moved by this prayer to seek Your throne of grace more and more in our Christian lives, that we would find Thee to be our Heavenly Father who cares. Fill us with Your Spirit of prayer, that we might go through Your Son in prayer to our Father who is in heaven. Amen.